we will be attentive to what God has to say. Amen?
Amen.
Reverend?
Amen. Thank you so much. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Come on, praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise
Come on, let's give
Lord.
Jesus a hand clap Woo. Of praise on today. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Amen. Y'all sit on down. Sit on down. Some of y'all rest yourself. Rest yourself. Rest yourself. Amen. Amen. I'm so grateful to be standing before you all today. Be standing behind this holified, sanctified, dignified pulpit. I give all honor and glory to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life. And our very own Pastor Pickens. Let's give Pastor Pickens a hand clap. Yeah. Amen. My mother over there, Mother Lee Boy, other pastors and preachers that are in the house, God bless you. And all of you, my father's children, I'm not going to be up here long, okay? Amen. I'm just going to preach until someone gets delivered and God gets the glory, okay? All right. let me get situated. All right. Praise your way through. Pray your way through. Can't give up now. Just pray your way through. Pray your way through. Pray your way through. God's got something waiting. If you pray your way through, just pray your way through. Pray your way through. Can't give up now. Just pray your way through. Just pray your way through. Pray your way through. God's got something for you. Just pray your way through. Just shout your way through. Shout your way through. Can't give up now. Just shout your way through. Just shout your way through. Just shout your way through. God's got something for you. Just shout your way through. Amen. Amen. All right, I can go now. Okay, all right, I can preach now. All right. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come to you now, first giving y'all honor, glory, and praise for who you are and what you are to me in my life, God. God, right now, in the name of Jesus, hide me behind the cross, God, so that they might see and hear from you. Let me decrease so that you may increase, God. Proceed to fill me with your precious Holy Ghost, God, so that your word can go forth. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Look at somebody and tell them, neighbor, there is a word from the Lord. Look at somebody else and tell them, neighbor, there is a word from the Lord. And I am a lover of the word of God. Y'all got your Bibles? Y'all hold that power up in the air. Hold it up. Let the devil know you didn't come here empty handed, because trust me, everything is going down but the word of our God. Amen. The book of Psalms. Psalms 31. I'm going to just read a couple of verses in your hearing. Psalms chapter 31, beginning at verse number 14. Amen. Psalms 31 and 14, and when you have it, say amen. And the Bible gives us this intelligence. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Make your face shine upon your servant. Save me for your mercy's sake. Amen. God bless you. You all may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I just came to lift you up and encourage you today. And even if you didn't need lifted up, I'm still going to encourage you. I hope so. Amen. Amen. I just want you to do one thing for me. Just look up towards the heavens. Just look up, look up. And just say, Jesus, take the wheel. That's what we're going to talk about today for a brief moment. Jesus taking the wheel. This particular psalm written by David was written to express the trust in God that David had and showed. David, at this time that this psalm was written or that he spoke it, David was going through a lot of stuff, and there was more things coming up on him. Now, if you don't know, David was actually almost at the hand of his own son. And just for food for thought, if you don't know who I'm talking about Absalom. He was at the hand almost of Absalom. And the reason why he was at the hand of Absalom, because Absalom felt like that his sister did not get the justice that she have gotten. Just in case if you don't know that part of the story, what happens is, his sister Tamar ended up being raped by Abner. Y'all know that? That's David's oldest son. Uh-huh. And the oldest son convinced his father to allow Tamar to come to him and serve him while he was sick, according to the Bible. Amen. And then one thing led to another, and the Bible said that he had lusted after his own sister. And in those days, things like that happen. You have to make a payment, or you're gonna die. Mm-hmm. So King David didn't do that. So now Absalom is upset. Absalom then devised a plan to kill Abner. Y'all with me? All right, stay with me, and I'm almost out of here. I promise you, it's gonna all make sense. Amen. You'll understand it better by and by. So now, this frustration that Absalom had has been going on for years. If I'm not mistaken, the Bible says he's been harvesting this for almost 2 years. And then he's coming back home. And now David is a little worried now, because he has Absalom to deal with. He has the kingdom to deal with. He has other things to deal with. He has other things that he's been going through. He has other things that has been bothering him. And at this present point in time, there's no one else to turn to but God. And I don't know about you, but have you been there to where you had no one else to turn to but God? Have you ever been there to where you couldn't pick up the phone? You couldn't call on nobody else for help? You couldn't ask this person for this or anything like that? You only had God. So at this time in our day and age, David is telling Jesus, David is telling God to just take the wheel. Because everything that I'm going through right now is just too much for me to handle. Boy, I don't know about you, but y'all missed a good sermon this morning by Reverend Williams. Reverend Williams said, "Be not dismayed. I'm still here. I ain't went nowhere." And he was referring to the Lord. It does not matter how hard your trials are. God has not left you. God has not forgotten about you. Even when it feels like you are just in the thick of the fire, God is right there with you. I shouldn't have to remind you about the three Hebrew boys, that God was right there in the fire with them. Uh-huh. So let's go down here and let's take a look at this right quick. All of the trials and the tribulations we deal with throughout our day, sometimes shows up in our personalities. Sometimes it shows up in our character. I see people have gotten quiet, so that means I'm going down the right street. I come to tell you that your circumstances cannot dictate how you treat others. I'm going to say that again. Your circumstances cannot dictate how you treat others. Because at the end of the day, you are serving a living God. And even though our living God went through his own trials and tribulations, he still showed love to one another. I'm not the only one. I hope I'm not the only one that's been going through a couple of issues here or there. May not be as bad as yours, but been going through some things right quick. I don't know about you, but there's been a time where my back was up against the wall. I don't know about you. There's been time I dug in my pocket and I found nothing but lint. I don't know about you, but it was time I walked into my job not knowing if I still had it or not. At times, the only thing you can say when all hell is breaking loose is, Jesus, take the wheel. Take the wheel. In order for this to take place, we have to establish a firm trust and believe in the person that we're telling to take the wheel. Have you ever been driving? You ever been driving and, somebody's in the passenger seat and you done dropped something and you got to get it or something that happened or your mind's in, and you say, hey, grab the wheel right quick. You have just, at that time, put your life in the passenger's hands. Here's what's crazy. You trust that passenger sometimes more than you trust God. I'm going to break something down. Do you know why it's so easy for us to trust sometimes? Because I don't trust everybody. But you want to know why it's so easy for us to sometimes put our trust in someone that we're looking at? It's because that's someone that we're looking at. Some of us might know where they live, how to get to them, or whatever. But it's easy for us to put our trust in that person than it is to put our trust in God. The problem is that God don't want you to wait until everything is going wrong. Right. And that's what goes on nowadays, is that people are waiting until everything is going wrong. And then when everything is going wrong, then you want to step in and try to commune with the Lord and try to get something worked out and try to get something fixed. So let me say, your first thing you need to do when in letting Jesus to take the wheel, the first thing you got to do is build a relationship with him. As much wrong as David, he had a relationship with God. Well, how does that refer to me? Because as much mess that you have done, you ought to want to have a relationship with God. It's more than just come. It's more. Oh, Pastor, I hope I don't hurt no feelings today. I really don't. But it's more than just coming to the church house. You know, nowadays, Pastor, people come to the church and they automatically think they saved. They automatically think, because I done stepped into the church. I done sat on the last two rows. I waved my hand, shouted hallelujah, gave my little $10, and that automatically makes me saved. Oh, no. No, you got to put some work in to be saved. Listen, it's more to it, good people. You know what they do now? They come down. Can I just talk right quick? They come down, they give a right hand to the fellowship. They say, the Lord is my Lord and Savior. I believe in him. I believe he died and got up and he loved me. And automatically right there, according to the Bible, that's all you need to do. You're saved right there. Then don't see you for another 3-4 weeks. In the olden church, they would have said you done backslidden. You done lost your salvation. Come back to the altar. Listen, you have to build a relationship with God. And in order to build a relationship with God, you got to start talking with him. Do you not know God already knows everything you're dealing with and going through? All he wants you to do sometimes is just talk to him. Here's what's crazy. God already knows what you're going through. But sometimes when you're talking to God, he wants to know, do you really understand what you're going through? Do you understand why you're in this situation? Do you understand why you're dealing with this right here? Do you understand? But God is just so hard. Okay. Well, allow him to take the wheel. We say we trust God, but some of us really, really don't. We say we trust God. We say we believe in him, but some of us really don't. Pastor just gave his testimony. He had to put all trust in God. Right there, he walked in knowing that Jesus already had his will. That the car he was riding in with the Lord, he was already okay. Either way, whatever decision. And that's how you build a relationship, because whatever God decides to do, it's going to be all right. Because at the end of the day, I trust God. But we have lost trust because we have dealt with issues. Certain things. Now, look, I'm not going to sit up here and make it seem like that I always trusted. I'm not going to sit up here and say that I didn't fall short. Because circumstances in life will almost let you do that. Circumstances in life will have you close your Bible. Circumstances in life will have you not come to service. Circumstances of life will have you acting a totally different way. Circumstances and life will have you acting like you used to act before you got saved. That's when it comes to the time where you got to say, Jesus, take this right here. David going through all of this. David did all this mess, murderer, adulterer, all of this stuff here. But the relationship he had with God, just like all of us should have with him, that forgiving relationship, that Lord, just give me another chance to get this right. Give me another opportunity to get this right. And we're not just talking about doing wrong. We're just talking about life. We're just talking. We're just talking about the time you went to the doctor and it didn't look good. We're just talking about the time you opened up your refrigerator and you didn't have nothing in there. We're just talking about when you needed to get to work and that last look, you ain't even riding on E, you riding on fumes, Pastor. When your back is up against the wall, Jesus, take the wheel. But you got to be willing to build a relationship. Can I say this? Yeah, okay. Let me put it this way. If you're ashamed of me down here, then I'll be ashamed of you with my Father. You know what goes on nowadays? Nowadays, the church is not doing what they are supposed to do. You know what's so crazy? We as Christians sit down and watch the TV and watch the news and all this stuff here and watch different shows and all this. And we talk about how the world is going crazy and all this stuff here. But then the sad part about it is when they turn to the church, we look just like the world. There was a time, you know, okay, Lord. Because for some reason, I wrote it down. He wanted me to say it, so I'm going to say it. Because it ties in. You know a word that they don't talk about no more, Pastor? Not only just that, they don't talk about sanctification no more. Being sanctified in the church. Oh, look at the church getting quiet. They not talking about sanctification. Being set apart. Because you want to know why? Because, okay, oh God, I want to be saved and still be in my mess. I want to be saved and still look like the world. I want to be saved and still wear everything the world wears. I want to be saved and still go out and do. You can listen, once you have stepped into salvation with the Lord, you have then separated yourself. You have then separated yourself from everybody else. That means you can't always do what everybody else do. You can't live the way everybody else live. You can't act the way everybody else act. When you got saved, your attitude was in check. But the second somebody cuts you over, and that'll show you how saved you really are. Oh, Jesus, take the wheel for me. Jesus, take the wheel. Upon building a relationship, you got to be specific in your prayer life. David was specific in this text right here. If you go up just a few more, he said, "For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, your namesake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net which has sacredly laid for me. For you are my strength. I have hated those who regard useless idols. But I trust in the Lord." When we are praying, you shouldn't be saved any amount of time and still don't know how to pray. You shouldn't be saying the same prayers you were saying a year or 2 years or 3 years ago. At some point in time, you have to be spiritually mature. You have to grow in some point in time. And when Jesus takes the wheel, your growth can start. You want to know why your growth can't start? Because you want one hand on the wheel and you want Jesus' hand on this part of the wheel. Or, "I'm going to take the top. I'm going to do 6 o'clock. You do 9 o'clock. I'm going to do 12. I'm going to do all of this." You got to move out the way. Let Jesus take the wheel so that you can grow. Once Jesus take the wheel, your relationships build. And then, oh God, your prayers become specific. "Oh, Lord, I just need a healing. You ever notice, you ever thought about, do the Lord be just sitting up there looking at me like, "Okay, you want a healing today, tomorrow? Do you know what's going on with you today?" And all this. Now, you got to be specific in your prayer life. Now, I'm not going to be sitting up here foolish enough to say you got to tell everybody your business, because some people, that's what they live for. Right in the church, that's what they live for, to be messy and nosy, want to know everybody's business and all this stuff here. And you, man, yeah, you ain't saved, okay? You know, you need to come back to the altar. You need to allow Jesus to take the wheel. But your prayer life has to be specific. "Lord, I'm going through. I need this right here, because if I don't get this, Lord, this is what's going to happen." Now, remember what I said. The Lord already knows what you're going through, but he needs to hear it from you. Let's look about the woman with the issue of blood. The Bible tells us that once Jesus felt the power leave from his body, he turned around and said, "Who touched me?" The Bible tells us that the disciples said, "You got all these people bumping into you, and you ask, who touched you?" And as I told him a couple of weeks ago, it wasn't about it was that her specific touch got his attention. Her touch separated her from everybody else. And you may ask yourself, "Well, wait a minute. Jesus knows everything." Sometimes when you're going through things and when you're dealing with stuff and when you allow Jesus to take the wheel, he will call you back up to the forefront so that the people see that what you went through didn't take you out. That you don't look like what you just came out of. Because you could be a living testimony on what God can do. That's why God can't use some of us, because y'all can't be living testimonies. You can't testify. Not you, Pastor. You a living testimony. Okay. But what's crazy is God wants to use some of us so good, but we're so ashamed. We don't have that relationship. We can't pray specifically. And God can't use a broken. Oh, man. Listen. When you become saved, you become a vessel. Your body no longer belongs to you. You become a walking, living testimony. You don't need a microphone to tell somebody how good God has been. You don't need a microphone. You don't need to be in church to stop somewhere and just tell the Lord, "Thank you." All right. When Jesus has the will and he's in control of everything, when I think about the goodness of Jesus, has anybody ever just been out there? Is anybody there where it just takes a thought about how good God is being? Your prayer life has to be specific and your prayer life has to be activated. It is impossible to please God without faith. Faith and prayer comes hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. I'm going to say this again, just in case you think I'm lying. Faith and prayer goes hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. You can't pray and don't have faith. And you can't have faith and don't pray. You have to pray and both have faith that what you're praying for, God can do it. Rather, he do it right then, a day or two later, next month or whatever. You know what it is? Nowadays, we want these microwave blessings. We want these Roman noodle blessings, these Hot Pocket blessings. Parents, I walk with y'all. Know them little meals you give a kid. Go, get your little piece of roll now. Move on around. Watch this. We do that as parents because it's quick. And because we do that to our children, we want our father to do that to us. Okay. I'm almost out of here. We will send the kids. Oh, this is going to make them mad, though. It's going to make them mad. It'll be all right. I still love you. Yeah. We will set the kids up for these quick and easy meals because it's easy, it's convenient, it's fast, and cheap. What if God blessed you because it's easy, quick, cheap, and convenient? How do you think your blessing will really come out? See, I want the store brand blessing, the one that takes time. You know, I want that. But let me put it this way. I want that good marinated barbecue. Okay? That barbecue that it marinates for a little bit. Pop back there, you understand what I'm talking about, where it sits there and marinate for a little bit. Get all the juices and the flavors. The one that got to sit down and take time and hours to cook so it can get just right, just for me. The one that when I go, I got to keep checking on it every now and again because it's still in the fire. I got to keep checking on it, making sure it's good. And when it's ready to come out, then I'll pull it out. That's the type of blessing I want. I want God to take his time with my blessing. Because your blessing is designed just for you. I want God to take time on my blessing. So, mothers and fathers, won't you take time to make a nice good meal and everything for the children? Boy got tied up in there right around this section right over here. She already know. All right. You got to build a relationship. After building a relationship, you got to be specific. After you are specific, you got to believe. You got to believe. If you're going to pray, don't worry. If you're going to worry, don't pray. Now, I used to say this. One thing I love about God is that he can do whatever he want to do, however he want to do it, whenever he want to do it. One thing that upsets me about God is that he can do whatever he want to do, whenever he want to do it, however he want to do it. But when I've allowed God to take the wheel, I want want y'all to understand something. You know, some of the same stuff that bothers y'all, it bothers God too. It really does. I'm finna tell you. Y'all been driving, and you got the passenger telling you how to drive. Yeah. Slow down. Turn down that way. Why'd you park over here? You missed that spot right there. Back up. That's a red light. Go. Move over. Cut your signal off. Cut it back on. Or the headlights on. Slow down. Can I stop at the gas station right quick? Shut up. That's what God be wanting to say to some of us because we're too busy. Slow down, Lord. Turn down here. Wait a minute, God. Let me do this. Wait a minute. Let me stop here. When God has taken the wheel, let the man drive. When he is taking the wheel, you'll be surprised where you end up at. But that's why it's so hard for us church, because sometimes we don't know where we're going to end up at. We don't know how God is going to do it. That's where the faith and the trust come in. I'm going to tell you why, then I'm going to go to my seat. You got to trust God and allow him to take the wheel. Because as you read throughout the Bible, you find out that God allowed the children of Israel to cross the Red Sea on dry land. And as they finished crossing, he then allowed the sea to swallow up his enemies. Can't nobody do that thing but God. You got to trust God and allow him to take the wheel, because as we go farther on into the Old Testament, we see the three Hebrew boys set down in the fiery furnace, and then no smoke, nothing harmed them. And then there was a fourth man in there. And the Bible says the fourth man looked like the Son of God. Can't nobody do that thing but God. And as you go farther on down, there was a psalmist that said that the Lord is my shepherd, that I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness. That is good for his name's sake. But yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The rod and the staff comfort me. Can't nobody do that thing there but God. And as you go farther on into the book, we come up on the New Testament. We come up on the New Testament, where Jesus is known to have the biggest fish fry to ever live. He fed 5,000 with 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread. Can't nobody do that thing there but Jesus. Then we talk about the woman with the issue of blood for 12 long years. Suffered from many physicians and didn't get any better, but she got worse. But she heard that Jesus was passing by. And she said, if I just get to the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. Can't nobody do that thing there but Jesus. And then on his way to healing, there was a man that came up and said that his son was, oh God, his son was blind. Jesus said, right here, your faith has healed him. Can't nobody do that thing there but Jesus. Then we're talking about the same Jesus that walked up a hill called Calvary. We're talking about the same Jesus that was laid on a cross. They put a nail in his right hand. They put a nail in his left hand. They put his feet together and put a nail right between them. They put a crown of thorns on his head, Pastor. And then they proceeded to get the cross and lift the cross up. But they forgot when he said, if I be lifted up from the world, I'll draw all men unto thee. Can't nobody do that thing there but Jesus. And then what they did, they took him down off the cross. They took him down and put him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there all day. He stayed there all night. But bright early one morning, He got up with all power of heaven and earth in his hand. Can't nobody do that thing there but Jesus. He walked past the people as a living testimony with Lazarus that he raised up from the grave. Can't nobody do that thing there but Jesus. He told the people, I got to go, because if I don't leave, the comforter cannot come. Can't nobody do that thing there but Jesus. He said, I'm going to send you someone to walk with you every day of your life. I'm going to send you someone to be with you every day of your life. When things get tough, I'm there to take the wheel. Can't nobody do that thing there but Jesus. I found out that there was a disciple going down the road on a donkey. And he got knocked off his donkey. And he's talking to him, why are you persecuting everybody? I'm going to change your name, make you a new creature. Change your name, make you a new body. Can't nobody do that thing there but Jesus. Look at somebody and tell them, neighbor, I need Jesus to take the wheel. I need him to take the wheel. Not just because I love him, not just because I know of him, but he got a track record that stems a mile high. I heard he healed people. I heard he saved people. He raised people from the dead. What has God done for you lately? I dare you to just remember the track record that Jesus has already laid out. He walked this earth. He died and ascended. And now he's at the right hand of the Father. Can't nobody do that thing there but Jesus. Touch somebody and tell them, neighbor, Jesus, take the wheel. That's all you need. You sick in your body? Tell Jesus, take the wheel. Your finances all messed up? Tell Jesus to take the wheel. Things ain't going right in your family? Tell Jesus, take the wheel. Your marriage is going crazy? Tell Jesus to take the wheel. Your job is acting up? Tell Jesus to take the wheel. Step out the way so he can take the wheel.
Come on, church. We can do better than that. Somebody ought to say hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huffsmith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."